I so fight, not as one beating the air. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Fathers, dear friends, I think Holy Mother, the Church today is perhaps trying to frighten us. If we're paying attention and we look at the texts of today's Mass, just looking at the introit, which for Sunday Masses, in a way, kind of acts like a theme for that particular day or week. The first words of the introit are, "The terrors of death surround me." The terrors of death surround me. And we see the priests wearing violet vestments, which we know are a sign of penance. And we no longer sing the Gloria at Mass from now all the way until Easter. The priests, when they pray the divine office this morning, they recite the office of Lauds. They pray the version of Lauds that begins with the Miserere, Psalm 50, the Psalm of Penance. We are entering a time of penance. Or rather, we are entering a time of preparation for penance. Holy Mother of the Church, during this time before of joy, rejoicing in the birth of Christ and Christ the King and the Epiphany, and in the time after the Epiphany, now hits the reset button, so to speak, and now turns our focus to penance. St. Paul, in the epistle, as we just read, he talks about it's like running a race. We're going to have to train ourselves. And for some of us, perhaps, this is something exciting. We are beginning a challenge. For certain personalities, they like the idea of this. But I think for most of us, there might be, if we're honest with ourselves, maybe a little bit of dread as we get closer to Ash Wednesday, to Lent, to penance, to giving things up. Now we know, and hopefully, of course, you've heard this before, penance is necessary. We must do penance. It's why Holy Mother of the Church inserts times of penance in the liturgical year. She knows that we need this. We need to be spurred on to this, even though we don't like it, because our nature turns away from that. Tainted as we are by original sin, we too easily become attached to the things of this world. But it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary for us. Any spiritual writer, any theologian of ascetical and mystical theology will tell you that in order to really set out on building our spiritual life, on drawing closer to God, if we really want to do that and want to be honest with ourselves, we have to begin with this separation from the world. We have to distance ourselves from the things of this world, from the flesh, from self, from these material things to which we become so easily attached. And for the people of the world, their hope, their heaven is in earthly happiness. They will have their reward in the here and now. But for those of us who have the faith, those of us who are Catholic, we know that, as our Lord himself told us, my kingdom is not of this world. And we will certainly be in the world, but we cannot be of the world. And so the importance of penance, as we know. But I'd like to suggest perhaps another perspective on penance, which I think might help us, I hope, to benefit a little bit more from this most necessary aspect of the spiritual life. We tend to associate penance with pain. And of course, this makes sense because to separate ourselves from material things, to tear those bonds that have been formed is painful, of course. Penance will almost necessarily be painful. But we don't want to confound the two so that penance is just pain. And the more pain I feel, the better penance I'm doing. It just needs to hurt really bad, and then I'll know I'm doing the right thing. And that's not always true. If we really want to understand penance really is meant to be an overcoming of our sinful tendencies, because that over-attachment to the things of this world is really what we call sin. When we sin, it's often because of that attachment to material things or to the flesh or to ourselves, a certain pride, and we have to break those attachments. And so when we choose our penances, don't just choose that which is most painful. Rather, choose that which contradicts my sinful tendencies. And that requires from us the time to examine our conscience and think about where in myself, in my own conscience, in my spiritual life, am I a little too distant from God? Where do I have a tendency to be drawn to one thing or another? Each person is different. We are all each very unique, created by God. And so we need to take the time to think about these things. It's very important. Penance must be focused on sin. You know, the Pharisees, they definitely misunderstood penance. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he reprimands them for that a lot in the gospel. I recall these words, which are very consoling, that our Lord says to the Pharisees. He says, "Go and learn what this means. I would have mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the just, but sinners." Our Lord Jesus Christ, if he calls us to penance, it's because we're sinners. And that has to be the starting point. As we read also in the Psalms, Psalm 50 that we read this morning, "With burnt offerings thou wilt not be delighted," not simply with pain. "A sacrifice to God is an afflicted spirit, a contrite and humbled heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." It has to begin in our own soul, and it has to begin with this consciousness of our sinfulness. And so then I encourage you to make your penance not pain-focused, even if pain will probably, of course, be part of it, but rather virtue-focused. And I think in that way, especially when it's founded, of course, on charity, and not this kind of, because we can all do this, we can have maybe even a certain pride in ourselves, that we've taken up this challenge, that I've done all of these things, I do all of these penances, and we can kind of feel good about that. But if the focus is on virtue, if the focus is on God, if the focus is on contradicting these sinful tendencies, I think that's a much more intelligent way to approach penance. It's just the question of asking why. Why do I do these things? And this is reflected too in our relations with others. We see this sometimes in families. This kind of harshness with self, this kind of imbalance that we might find sometimes in ourselves, we find it too in our relations with others. On the one side, you have no discipline. All things are licit to me, right? There's no discipline at all. And yet on the other side, we have this kind of maybe a certain puritanical brutality. You know, everything must be hard. The Catholic faith is hard. It must be tough. So just suck it up. Do it. You have these two things, and they seem contradictory, but they're actually not. And sometimes we'll find both of those things in the same person. And that, I think, comes down to, once again, this lack of asking why. Why do we do these things? Why do we live out our faith? If we really ask ourselves why, I think we'll understand that our faith is something that's meant to be lived. And if it's something lived, it has to be something that carries us with it. It has to be something, even, I would say, that appeals to us. There has to be a certain joy about it. This is especially important in families, because with your children, you have to convince them that the faith is something that they want. If it's just something, oh, just do it, it's hard, just suck it up, just do it, and you never explain or you never show to them that it's something joyful, it's something that appeals or is meant to appeal to them, then they're not going to keep the faith as adults. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we water down the faith. Sometimes we have to approach things which are difficult, of course. We understand that. But we have to ask ourselves the question, why? Why do we do these things? And then going back to ourselves individually, we need to have a more balanced attitude. And I think a lot of times it's because we lack confidence. You know, we examining our conscience, seeing our sinfulness, we perhaps have a tendency once again to be too harsh with ourselves, but in an imbalanced way. We tell ourselves after we fail, and of course we all fail because we're all sinners. Well, I'm so terrible, I'm horrible, I'm pathetic. I'll never be saved. I'll never really love God. I'm so bad. And we tell ourselves this again and again, and we lose confidence so quickly. You know, in the physical realm, imagine if I've hurt myself. Maybe I've cut myself. Oh no, I cut myself. I'm so stupid. I'm so terrible. Why'd I do that? I'm so bad. I'm just going to keep cutting myself and reopening the wound again and again. No, when we hurt ourselves, we give ourselves time to heal. We need to do the same with our souls, with spiritual wounds as well. If a friend of ours made a mistake, if they failed in some way, we wouldn't tell them, oh, you're a terrible person, you're a wretch. No, of course not. We would encourage them. If they failed, if they've fallen, we would tell them to forget the past, move on, build from what you have. We need confidence. And that, I think, is another aspect, which maybe gives this trepidation before penance, before opening ourselves to the reality of our sinfulness. We have to realize that we're not doing this alone. We're doing this with God, who is very much close to us. It's not a question of being easy with ourselves. It's not a question of just always taking the easy path. But we need to be realistic. And so if we read in the introit today that we are surrounded by death, then we also need to read as well in the other texts of the Mass all of these words of hope, of confidence. You read in the tract today, De profundis clamavi ad te, Domine. From the depths, I have cried to you, O Lord, from the depths. It's like in a pit, and yet you've heard me. You listened to my voice. You helped me. You were always there. Holy Mother of the Church, when she presents these things to us, she never leaves us hopeless, never. The Lord is a stronghold to the oppressed, a stronghold in time of peril. Those who acknowledge thy name, Lord, can trust in thee. Never was man forsaken that had recourse to thee. Remembering that, as St. Paul says, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in the high places. It's a battle. And it's a challenging one, but nonetheless, God is with us. And like a good soldier, let's approach that battle with confidence and with joy, not with fear and trepidation. And so during this time of Septuagesima, this time of preparation for Lent, we haven't begun the penance quite yet, but we're thinking about it. We're meant to be thinking about it. Let's consider, what am I going to do during Lent? What penances am I going to choose for myself? And let's perhaps go beyond just giving something up, as important as that might be. Perhaps that's what we need in our spiritual life. But rather think as well, what can I do, perhaps, what can I change in my life to make it easier to love God, easier to make the right choices? We're allowed to do that. It's not just a question of doing hard things. Let's be prudent and intelligent in the choices that we make of penance. I think we'll benefit from it much, much more. And remembering that God is with us, he's close to us. As he says in the words of Holy Scripture, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is the Lord that will do battle for you. Your part is silence. And so let us in silence listen to the inspiration of God, the inspiration as well of our Holy Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who, as we read in Scripture as well, is like an army in battle array. She will prepare us for this battle. She will keep us strong so that we can benefit so much from this time of Lent, so as at the time of Easter, to rise again with our Lord Jesus Christ, a new man, renewed in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.